This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I
I thought I knew that voice a couple times, but we'll get into it. 855-752-4842. Sandy can't hear. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Sandy, can you hear now?
Yep.
All right. So we're going to get into the music and why Sandy has played the music he has in a few minutes. But we've been talking about meritocracy and what it is. And so we've got some callers still on the line. I think it's a worthy conversation. I think the conversation runs deeper than the surface of the definition of what meritocracy is. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Good morning to you, Cassandra. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. You know, whenever we talk about meritocracy and organizations, what I have learned is that there is a shifting definition of who is considered worthy of appointment, advancement, etc. And there's not always a clear definition of who is
worthy,
who has merit.
Yes, right.
And who is worthy. Yeah. And I I'm a military veteran, and occasionally I follow the news in many of the military times. And I don't know if you all are aware of this, but the U.S. Navy has relieved in the last year, 18 months, 12 commanders and one commandant of the Coast Guard.
Yeah, female, the first female.
The first female.
Right.
Yes. And most of the individuals who were relieved from their command, many of them, not all, many of them were women or people of color. And the reason for removing them from command was because they did not inspire leadership in the ranks. And so my question is, how does Pete Hegseth, someone who is a major, a junior, well, a mid-rank officer, someone who has never managed any organization the size of the Pentagon, how is he qualified? How was that appointment based upon merit? And so these ideas. So when I listen to conservatives and I do lean conservative in some ways, but I am willing to step back and say, this is not, your ideology and your application do not line up.
Bingo. Yeah. I mean, bingo, Cassandra. You know, so Pete Hegseth, Sandy, you want to take a kick at that can?
Well, merit, like I said, one person's merit is another person's hypocrisy or bigotry. Certainly merit wasn't the basis on which Pete Hegseth was selected, right? I mean, as to who would be the very best person to run the Department of Defense, I'm confident that if there were a competition measured by people with objective thought, Pete Hegseth wouldn't have been even in the mix.
He might have not even made the top 100 when we're talking about, or 1,000 when we're talking about.
I don't think he makes the list.
I know. It's just true. Yet he's in a position now to meet that out, Sandy.
Right.
That's the problem with all this. Let's go to Linda from McClare. Good morning to you, Linda. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for calling. You say what? Linda, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am. Earl, I come across this word here. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but as far as merit, there's a word here. Maybe Sandy will correct me if I've got it wrong. Kakistocracy, when a government by the least suitable or competent citizens of a state. And that's what's happening now. We have the most incompetent people who are running the country. As the definition of a kakistocracy, in addition to all the other descriptors of it.
So, Linda, hang on, Sandy. You have you heard of that word?
Well, I haven't happily because it hasn't happened probably that often. But I think that the American public is the judge of the merit of the incoming administration and every incoming administration, and hopefully we'll do a good job of measuring the merit of what it is that we're currently being presented with, which, in my mind, has a lot to prove. You know, I'm definitely from Missouri as to whether or not this incoming administration reflects any sort of merit.
Hey, Linda, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Dave from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Good morning. I guess we have a very different ideology when it comes to this. And, you know, I have looked at his background, Pete Hegseth, and, you know, the guy went to two elite schools. He went to Harvard. He went to Princeton. He served in the Army, went to battle. He's familiar with a lot of the nuances of the military. And, you know, maybe you guys are saying he's not in the top 100, but I disagree. I think he is a new generation.
Well, David, you left off this resume. You left off his temporary or short-term leadership of the Veterans Organization from which he was suspended from his job, or at least they've had a mutual parting of the ways based on experience that included some financial problems as well as potentially alcohol-related issues. That's a partial resume. There's some blanks in there.
All right. So didn't George Bush, didn't he have issues when he was younger?
But that's not the answer. That's not the answer, didn't George Bush. We're talking about Pete Hegseth, and we're talking about a man running the biggest, entity in our government.
Well, we had, and also George Bush was elected governor of Texas, and there was a process of observation of George Bush and his capacity to perform for a period of years by voters and in a public way, which hasn't been the case in this other circumstance. But I'm just saying you're providing a partial resume, that's all.
All right. Well, at the end of the day, I do think, though, we do have to go back to a merit system, because if we lower the standards like the state of Wisconsin did, you're doing a huge disservice for the people that would probably not be qualified.
So where did the state of Wisconsin lower the standards? What do you mean?
Well, didn't you see that Governor Evers just had a disagreement with the I forgot her name.
Oh, well, the Department of Education, the head of, wanted to change the testing standards. They didn't, that was different. They weren't changing the standards with respect to the measurement of people. They were going to change the way in which the tests were recorded and measured. But I'm not sure that DEI necessarily correctly implemented involves a changing of standards. And do you understand that to be the case?
Well, again, that's why the whole Asia community sued the top schools in the country.
That was not DEI per se. That was the acceptance program, and that was affirmative action.
Hey, David, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, my brain's about ready to explode. First off, Cassandra and people like Cassandra, this is what you voted for. Just want to remind you of that. Second, again, I'm not picking her out particularly. I'm saying people like her. Also, racism is interwoven into the fabric of our society. Like I've talked about before, even in Hollywood, in the media, you usually portray black people as criminals, as thugs, as gangbangers, as drug dealers. So that's what people in small town Wisconsin all of a sudden think that's their experience with black people. And people need to wake up. What this country seems to want to move to is not a meritocracy. What it wants to move to is a straight commission job. And I'll tell you what, even in a very diverse place like Los Angeles, if you are a salesperson, now I am very, very lucky. I am a white guy. I can walk up to someone's door at 7 o'clock at night and people are not going to fear me as much as they will some black guy that's, selling internet and cable door to door. This is what DEI was basically to put a rule in place. First off, I don't even think it was done in the government so much as it was done in private corporations because they saw the number of their customers that identified with different people.
Hey, Tom, hang on a second. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and you guys hang on the phone lines. It's Tuesday. That means Sandy Williams, my co-host, is holding down the fort. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Well, Sandy, I thought maybe people might have had a chance to figure out the music, but now James Brown. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, nobody knows the music. Why?
Well, all of it involves a president. That's the funky president,
yep.
If you listen. There weren't enough words there. The prior song was the president singing Amazing Grace. That was Barack Obama.
Yeah, I knew I'd do that voice.
And the first song was about FDR. The next couple of songs were about Dwight Eisenhower. So these are all songs that relate to presidents.
All right, Tom, L.A., go ahead. Finish up your thought.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is the Republicans' idea is for it to be a white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, straight man.
No, I will tell you, I'm pretty fortunate because of the fact that I can pass as a straight man. But the thing is, the problem is that if you have majority of white people, the good old boys club, if you have that, and everybody is basically an independent owner of a business, or they work straight commission, which is what the Republicans would like. They'd like us to have no salary at all. Then basically, the people that are going to win in that equation will always be the white Anglo-Saxon straight, you know, Protestant man, because there's more of them in the country than there is anybody else. So I just hope people kind of can check their white privilege at the door. The whole idea of DEI was to actually just make people aware of the fact that there is diversity in a workforce, and don't let the majority of straight white men think that they are the only ones in a workforce. And the same thing goes with even white women that give up their power up to white men. This is the problem. So people like CJ and Gary can call in, because they don't have to worry about any type of diversity, equity, and inclusion, because my guess is most of their customers are probably white, and that's where they get their business from. So, I mean, I'm in the same position. I own my own business. I work as an independent contractor. I don't work for a company. But the thing is, I'm lucky. I'm lucky that I have the ability to be able to do it, because I am a white dude.
So, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mark from DeSac, Prairie DeSac. Good morning to you, Mark. Thank you very much. Thanks for hanging on. You say what?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much, guys. That diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's think about that. Diversity. We have a diverse society, and it's getting more diverse by the day. Equity is everybody should be treated equal. Inclusion, including everybody, to be able to prove their abilities, to prove their merit, their merits, and this supposed meritocracy that they're looking for. And to, I think Dave from MetCon was talking about Pete Hegseth. Well, the man, you know, talking about his military career, if the man committed adultery during his military career, and they were aware of that, it's, to my knowledge, the military still hasn't removed that prohibition on that, and that's a court-martial offense to commit adultery. So his military career, you know, we could say, well, if you're looking at it objectively, then his military career should be set aside, but he committed a court-martial offense while in the military. I'm not judging based on that, and let's just, you know, you can't lay that aside. And the man has not run an organization of the size, any size at all, that makes him qualified to run an organization as big as the Pentagon. I mean, and they're purging people with merit out of positions all over the place. I mean, I just checked today on the whole firing in the inspectors general. Part of it being an inspectors general, I assume, is part of it is in conformity with the code of ethics in terms of for the internal auditors. I know a little bit about that because I was an accountant in my career. And part of that was integrity, objectivity, and competency. I don't know if confidentiality actually applies in the terms for the inspector general. But I don't know. You have to objectively decide if these people actually can be objective on these matters, if they have an integrity, or if they have the competency to run an organization of that size. And I do not think that Pete Hegseth does have that competency. I mean, speaking as, you know, as a layperson that has never run an organization of that size, I mean, that I, you know, worked as an accountant for the state of Wisconsin, but I had to apply my training, you know, to be, in, you know, my integrity and my competency to do my job.
You know what, Mark? The worst thing about it is he's there. Okay, they gave it to him.
Well, I do think that we should all be awake and that we should all do a self-education about this DEI thing, because it's getting a bad rap, and it's getting it's become a pejorative term without people even understanding what it is or what it might try to accomplish. And what it tries to accomplish is all very meritorious. And I don't believe that in its form it involves affirmative action. I think affirmative action went the way of the Supreme Court decisions in the very cases that Dave was talking about with respect to admissions to schools. And so, you know, I think as a society we just need to be alert to this and awake to what it is, the underlying motives that might be there for throwing out the baby with the bathwater in terms of expunging DEI and painting it as a pejorative.
Well, they've already done away with it. So let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, girl. Good morning, Sandy. Well, first of all, the guy that talked about Hegseth being so qualified, he also left off the part on the resume where Hegseth said that women are basically a burden on the military. And just because somebody went to Princeton or Harvard or whatever does not make them qualified to run. I mean, this is $885 billion budget? Come on, this just isn't run by just anybody. So I don't know. I think we're headed down a really bad path here. And the worst part about this is I think the military is going to eventually be used against we the people.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842 is Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my call. Sandy Williams and you. Hang on, guys. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And Charles, thank you very much for waiting. You say what, sir?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. And so my question is, if the right has come up with what they want people to believe DEI stands for. So if we went on their definition of DEI, wouldn't Pete Hegseth be a DEI hire, somebody that's unqualified for a position that he was given?
Well, I mean, I forgot who it was, who I think it was Cassandra who kind of echoed those sentiments. And I would say without question that he clearly would fall into that category based on what their definition of it is.
Okay. I was just wondering because I hear people talk about him, I'm like, this guy is nowhere near qualified, but he was given, I mean, we know why he was given that position, but yeah, he's nowhere near qualified to run that agency.
Hey, Charles, thank you very much, as always, for the call. Let's go to Rob from Appleton. Good morning to you, Rob. You say what?
Hey, Earl. Good morning. Enjoying the show here.
Thank you.
You know, I once heard somebody joke, there's nothing more amusing than a freshman that's just gone to his first political science class and wants to tell everybody how the world works as if they never heard it before. I see a lot of that in this whole debate about wokeness and DEI. You know, the civil rights movement started back in the 60s, and I'm an older guy. I've worked with black, Asian, male, female, Indian. It's never been a problem. So why is it suddenly this huge thing as if nobody ever thought about it or considered it before? I've been working, playing, and living next to people of all colors and races for years, and it's never been an issue, and not for anybody I know. So the question is, why is it being ginned up as such a big deal, and why are all these next-tier programs being created that really aren't necessary? We've already got laws against discrimination. We already have laws that require equal opportunity, as it should be. So what's really behind that?
I'm just to understand what the caller is saying. You're saying what's behind having DEI programs, or what's behind the vilification of the DEI programs?
I go back to my initial comment, which is kind of tongue in cheek. Is, you know, people, oh, I'm woke. Well, welcome to the world. You know, my generation 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago did away with discrimination. All people are equal, color, race, it doesn't matter. If it's something new that has just happened, and that's the head scratcher for me, is why is it being presented that way? Because it's clearly not. As I said, I've been working, playing, and living next to people of all races and colors.
Do you really think that the world, that the United States is now post-racial? I know that when Obama was elected, there was a lot of exaltation, people saying, well, that we're in post-racial America now, where race doesn't make a difference. But do you really think that race has been erased from people's thought process when they're making decisions in the workplace and elsewhere?
Well, Sandy, I'll let the caller answer. But when you're talking about this, and there are black people who are hearing this, we know that that's not the case. Okay, even with affirmative action and all of those things, race has never been erased from the lexicon of this nation.
Well, Rob,
go ahead and respond.
Well, first of all, I disagree with your question premise. It's not an either or. It's a sliding scale. It's a matter of progression and getting better and better. And if you think race has ever been erased anywhere in the world, you're fooling yourself. It's a
no, of course. That's my point, sort of. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
we're at today versus where we're at in this country when I was 15 years old is night and day. I mean,
I agree with that.
It makes like it's a horrible, horrible problem that's never been addressed. B is in B, S is in S. Racial relations have never been better in this country. People my age have never had more friends and relationships and family members of different types than ever. So why is it being painted as worse? That's my question. And the reason is somebody's trying to make political havoc. It'll never be perfect, Gerald. You're right. It'll never be perfect, my man, because people are imperfect. And nowhere on the planet is racist.
Well, do you think, I mean, the DEI process hardly was political hay. I mean, if anything, it's been there's been a backlash, and it's been a negative. And if anything, the concept of woke and DEI was used very probably effectively against the Democrats in the last election. So my sense is that it wasn't a popular movement. And my sense is that DEI got its start in corporate America, not in government America.
Yeah, corporations always have to CYA. I've been part of that before, no question. But like I say, on a feet in the ground basis, I've never known a world with more equality and more where people of all different types could live together in this country than they have now. So why is it being portrayed as worse than ever when that's really not the truth?
Hey, Rob, thank you very much
actually,
for listening.
Actually,
thank you
Rob, just a minute on that, though, because it, just in terms of data, if you look at unemployment in the state of Wisconsin, we have a record low unemployment rate, and yet the unemployment rate amongst African Americans is at a very high level. So, I mean, this equity is anecdotal, and I think we're all experiencing improvements in it. But if you look at things on a macro basis and it just analyze data, I'm not sure how much better it really is.
All right, let's go to Lori from Shawano. Hey, good morning to you, Lori. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I say I want to comment on that whole thing with the Obama and the racism. So I was told by somebody who is on the other side that this was days after President Obama had been elected, that somebody they were listening to said that there is no more racism in America because we elected our first black president.
Yes.
But they failed to say that he's also half white because they don't want to even consider that he could possibly be related to them. But so that means that no white male can ever claim racism or sexism because every president up to Obama and since Obama has been a white male. So there's that. If those are the parameters that they're setting, then they can't come back and say, oh, well, now white males are being disadvantaged. The other thing, you're talking about meritocracy. The lady mentioned tacritocracy, and I don't know if you ever heard of the movie Idiocracy, but it was like
yes.
Anything that makes sense is the opposite, which is what we've got now. So the epitome of that kind of is like this guy, this insurrectionist who was released. I don't know how many years he was supposed to do.
22.
But he gets out.
And goes to the Capitol.
Wow. And he could have been alive for 22 years. Instead, he gets out and gets the death penalty. Now, that seems like an idiocracy to me.
Hey, Lori, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Eric from Tulsa, you're up next, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, Earl. Hello, Sandy. Quite the conversation today. I got to say that imagining a whitey-tighty-righty from Stoughton walking the same Milwaukee streets where young black guys hang out is patently hilarious. I think you ought to invite all your audience members to Juneteenth, and we'll see who shows up and who's comfy walking around Milwaukee. Anyways, let's not forget also our current defense secretary is actually a DUI hire. And that the people who fired this guy, the alcoholic sexual abuser recently from his positions of responsibility, are all dyed-in-the-wool GOPers. So there was no liberal, thing behind any of that. Those are all Republicans firing that guy. And also the idea of meritocracy, let's forget, is based on right now first putting, white Christian males in charge of everything. And to think that they understand that folks like this that understand meritocracy that way, putting people in charge and running by that is hilarious, is terrifying, I should say. But finally, I like to say, let's not forget that DEI, notice they never say diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's just DEI, has only replaced woke, to fund the police, critical race theory, or CRT, as again, they only say it, and they're eating the dogs as racist dog whistles for black and brown people are taking over the country. Because 2043 threatens our white supremacist doctrine and our white dominance. And to the person who said that things are getting better for folks, I'd like to say clearly, I believe that the wait, as they say, the wait, is only another way of saying, give us just one more day on top, please. And racism has evolved as well in order to maintain the socioeconomic status quo, no matter what norms exist currently. And statistically, I'd like to say, before I'm done here, is that the black wealth gap and the black ownership gap is actually greater than it was decades ago.
So no question.
People that are trying to say that things are getting better are only seeing it from their white suburban perspective, I'll say.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much for the call. Cassandra.
Yeah, hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call again. I just wanted to make another point based upon some of the comments from another caller, especially the one who discussed Hegseth's credentials of graduating from these Ivy League colleges. In the military, that does not matter. I don't know if both you and Sandy recalled under the Obama administration, David Petraeus, he was a retired general and the director of the CIA, and he had an affair.
Yes.
And what was truly problematic for General Petraeus was that there had to be a very in-depth investigation to rule out that the affair did not occur while he was still serving in the military, because if he had an extramarital affair as a general on active duty in the military, he was subject to criminal prosecution under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And so the military codes and civilian codes on adultery are very, very different. And so as a veteran, I am appalled to have Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of the Department of Defense, because it undermines morale, and I don't approve of it.
Well, Sandra, he's supposedly there to clean it up. You know, when you hear what Donald Trump and congressmen and senators are saying, that's what he's there for, to clean up the military.
There were more qualified people than Pete Hegseth. And as I said before, I lean conservative, and even I am willing to say this person is not qualified to sit in that office.
Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I was going to actually respond to the caller several callers ago from Appleton, who wanted to talk about whether DEI was needed or not, that things were so much better. And I think what I would only remind him of is that things got better as the result of a lot of affirmative action.
Yes.
And a lot of affirmative attention. And that things, yes, I think are better. I'm glad that he in particular is matriculating with and has found himself in a much more diverse world. But that's good. But he needs to look that the mirror image of that is, what is the experience of the people who are of color or are diverse, and what is their experience, and is what they are experiencing, is it much better? Because he's got the experience of anecdote, and there sound like it's good experience, but it might be, well, quite limited.
Well, you know, Sandy, I don't have a PhD in many things, but I have a PhD in being a black man in America and understanding where we are. 855-752-4842 is the number. Hang on, guys. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Were you ever taught when you were young? If you mess with things selfishly, they're bound to come undone. I'm not the only one that's been affected and resented every story you've spun, and I'm a lucky one. 'Cause there are people worse off that have suffered enough. Haven't they suffered enough? But you can't get enough of shutting down systems for personal gain, fighting fires with liars and praying for rain. Do you get off on pain?
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my call, Sandy. Sandy, before we go to the phone line, just want to say, man, you know, great discussion, great topic. Callers, right? This is a conversation that needs to be being had across this nation right now, and the depth of it, because of the impact of what is going to happen because of these decisions that are being made. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning. Yeah, first of all, I got three things to say, if I can remember them all. First of all, Hegseth, by any reasonable measure, is absolutely unqualified to be where he's at. If he were in the military, he would be drummed out. And here's how I know. I have a very, very dear friend, a woman with whom I have climbed mountains, and she was a pilot, and she was responsible in the first Trump administration. she was one of those responsible for his air security. So you know she was very, very good. She had an affair once. She was drummed out of her military service. They just basically threw her away. Next thing is that I have progressive friends and even a couple of conservative friends who, when Trump was elected and when some were voting for him, they said, oh, he's not going to do all of that Project 2025 stuff. Well, I sincerely hope that this is an eye-opener for those people. I'm sure that some of the police that voted for this guy all of a sudden are getting some buyer's remorse.
Some of the Latinos.
Oh, I'm sure.
As well.
I'm sure that's the case. That's the case, too. Something like a third of Latino families in this country, I think, have one undocumented relative in the country. And anyway, finally, we are about to see what the transition into, I think, fascism is like. Maybe not quite a dictatorship, but it's going to be very close. What we have now is, I think it was Mark Twain that called this the best government that money can buy. We have government of the billionaires, by the billionaires, and for the billionaires. And people are, again, about to find that out, too. Some of those who said, yeah, this is not going to happen. It's going to happen, unfortunately.
Hey, Jack, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill, go ahead.
It was on the anniversary. It was yesterday or today, of the Holocaust. At the Holocaust Museum, I believe, it says, we shall never forget. We forgot, because now they're rounding up, as they call them, illegals, and they believe they're hurting our society, much like the German administration thought that Jews were hurting their society. They were rounded up, and first they started with ghettos, and then it led from Jewish ghettos to other places. Well, heaven help us. We are now, in 1 week, are the most insecure we've ever been nationally for national security by the destruction of our allies. All your listeners, Gary and CJ, I don't know how they can even not comprehend.
Hey, Bill, thanks. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, great calls, great conversation. You say what?
Well, I do believe that the disruption in the military is going to be substantial as well. You can't fire a bunch of generals. You can't shake. You know, people have talked about people who support Hegseth have said, well, he's a great disruptor, and that's what the Pentagon needs. Well, the disruption of our military will, in fact, disrupt our military, and we'll see what that means in terms of capability, but and use, and how our military gets deployed in the future, and hopefully it's always only abroad. I think we just all have to be vigilant about what's going on, because vigilance is required. And we're gonna be tested. Our courts are gonna be tested. Our system is gonna be tested, and so will all of us.
You know, Sandy, you and I talked about having this conversation early this morning. We had a whole list of other things to get to, but we didn't get to any of them because clearly people know that something is changing, right? Quickly.
Yeah.
And they have thoughts on it.
Well, and like I said, Project 2025, people, you know, Donald Trump held his nose and pretended he had nothing to do with it because he knew that much within it is very incendiary. And now its implementation is going to be incendiary. And it's going to be something that we all need to worry about a bit. And it's going to test our courts. It's going to test our system.
Hey, Sandy, thank you for a great conversation, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. We couldn't do it without you, the listeners. Tell somebody about us so we can continue doing what we're doing. But let somebody else know about the show. And Calvin, thank you. Up next, Matt and Eric, Jane Matt and Eric, Greg Bach, Matt and Eric on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.